saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to my podcast. I'm really excited for today's episode. I'm just also want to say that thank you guys so much for watching my recent YouTube video. You can subscribe to my YouTube channel at Victoria Duvall. All of my social media things besides this is Victoria's Thoughts, but every other one of my social media platforms is just Victoria Duvall. And so, yeah, so I just want to say thank you guys so much for subscribing to my YouTube, and my next YouTube video will be coming out soon. So thank you guys so much. But let's get into today's episode, which is how to stop being desperate. So let's really get into it. We're going to just dissect this as fuck. So let's go. So there's a phenomenon that occurs when we are children as women where we start really, I think what it is our feminine energy, because we're coming up in this patriarchal society and usually with harsh or abusive or toxic, at the very least, parents, we tend to go into this extreme expression of the wounded feminine energy. So it's not actual feminine energy. It's really, should I just say, it's the wounded little girl energy. It's not actually feminine energy. But we have a similar shared archetype of this wounded little girl energy that comes out when we are children, because we are being raised by wounded parents and because we are being raised in a wounded society, we end up being very attached to this wounded little girl persona. I just posted this quote on TikTok and it was about pornography, but it relates to what I'm about to say. So I'm going to read it. So what it says is, pornography also eroticizes male supremacy. It makes dominance and subordination feel like sex. It makes hierarchy feel like sex. It makes force and violence feel like sex. It makes hate and terrorism feel like sex. It makes inequality feel like sex. Pornography keeps sexism sexy. It keeps sexism necessary for some people to have sexual feelings. It makes reciprocity make you go limp. It makes mutuality leave you cold. It makes tenderness and intimacy and caring make you feel like you're going to disappear into a void. It makes injustice a sexual thrill. So that's a really, really good and amazing quote on pornography and what it is doing to our society, which is basically just furthering the disempowerment of women and in a very intense way, furthering the sexual violence and the desensitization to sexual violence of women, right? However, what it's also doing is making violence against women sexy. That's really in a very insidious way, because we talk about the effects in men, right? We talk about the effects of pornography in men. But what we don't talk about is the effect of pornography and really our society on women. So even if you don't look at it as just pornography, if you just take it on a further level as patriarchy, right? Patriarchy in some insidious, unconscious way makes our subordination, our submission, our disempowerment a turn on for us as women. We have become attached to our disempowerment as women. So what that looks like is we have this deep attachment to being victims, to being in pain, to being hurt, to being harmed. And we have to address in every one of us, if we would like to actually liberate ourselves, we have to address the areas where we have become attached and identified, created an identity out of our position in a patriarchal society. So in my opinion, what that looks like when we're growing up as women is, as children, we experience a lot of interpersonal violence. We experience a lot of interpersonal oppression, a lot of interpersonal subordination. And that can even just look like when you are in fifth grade, the boys in your grade making you feel less than, the boys in your grade sexually objectifying you, the boys in your grade, you know, making fun of you. It can look like your first boyfriend or your first sexual experience when you lose your virginity, you having this terrible experience where this man just kind of uses you. It can look like your first boyfriend kind of treating you like shit and discarding you, right? It can look like any of these acute experiences. And what happens is when we have these experiences in our childhood mixed with this pervasive patriarchal society, we create an identity out of being a victim, and it becomes very soothing to us as women. And so when you can actually see this perfectly in Lana Del Rey, right? So you can see this perfectly in the Lana Del Rey music. And I, as a child, was a huge Lana Del Rey fan. I used to call her my mother. I had posters of her everywhere. She was my Facebook cover photo or whatever that was called. I was obsessed with her. On Mother's Day, I went to a concert of hers instead of spending time with my own mother, which I still feel badly about. Yeah, so Lana Del Rey is a perfect example of this type of wounded little girl energy where these experiences never came into maturation. And what happens is that when we experience living in a patriarchal society, we become attached to our position as the victim, as our position as submissive. And there's this mixture of this expression of being a victim and being sad about it, and then this also this turn on of being attached to and turned on by the expression of victimhood and being harmed, and this romanticization of being harmed and being a victim and always being hurt and always being left. And then from that space, there comes this big doe-eyed kind of expression, this little wounded girl energy, where you can see, for examples like Lana Del Rey, she never matured past age 14, 15. And for a lot of women in our society, they never matured past age 15 or 14. And what happens is we become attached to this expression as a 14 or 15 year old, and we become attached to and sexualizing of the idea of being a victim, the idea of being hurt, the idea of loving more. I think a great example of this is because I, of course, as a child, as most women do, was in this full archetype as a child. And I wanted, when I was younger, to get tattooed on me this quote that said, if equal affection cannot be, let the more loving one be me. And what that meant to me was, you know, I was obsessed with this Lana Del Rey archetype of, you know, oh my God, I always love more and my man always leaves me. And, you know, I'm so obsessed and I'm so emotional and like I'm always left and I'm always hurt, and but I'm always going to give my love and I'm always going to love more and I'm always going to love him so much. This is my man. This is my God. Like literally that expression of little girl, wounded little girl energy, right? And it's this facade. It's not actually about the other man. It's not actually about anybody besides your own attachment to your own victimhood, your own identity that you make out of your own victimhood, which also as children makes growing up in this patriarchal society a little bit easier. It makes growing up without having positive women or male role models a little bit more soothing, because we make a identity out of this toxicity, right? So from this space, what happens is that many girls get trapped in this romanticization of this wounded little girl energy. And when they're 25, I am a huge proponent of taking very seriously the choices that you make in your 20s, because in my opinion, the choices that you make in your 20s really set up the rest of your life. And so I'm a massive proponent of doing the work in your 20s, getting your shit together in your 20s, making good decisions, making healthy decisions, because I say this all the time, but it won't be funny and it won't be romanticized when you're 50 or 60 or 70 years old and you're still with a not shit man and you realize you're about to die and you've spent your entire life attached to this identity of wounded little girl victimhood energy and you romanticize being treated like shit and sexualized it. And now you're, you know, 70 and your kids have gone on and lived their own lives. And it's just you and this not shit man now. And you realize this is it. This is the life that I've chosen. And it won't be funny then. And it's not funny now because we actually need to take this very seriously, because what we usually focus on is the way that the patriarchy affects us and does to us and harms us. But we also, in my opinion, now need to address how do we internalize, take on, and become attached to our inner patriarchy? How are we attached to our role in the patriarchy? Let's talk about that, because that's a really important topic. Talking about how we are ourselves attached to our position in the patriarchy is the single most important thing any woman can do for her healing. How are you attached to furthering and taking part in your own oppression? How are you romanticizing your own oppression in the patriarchy? How have you now taken this identity on and become very comfortable in it? It feels unsafe and uncomfortable to go beyond this identity that you've created. I think this is very important. I think I'm actually going to call this podcast the Lana Del Rey effect or something like that, because it's not the Lana Del Rey effect. Like, she didn't create this. She is a, you know, a product of this. This has already been, you know, a long, long around before her, but she captures this effect very, very clearly. And so by listening to her music or seeing the way that she shows up in her life, you can see this effect very clearly. And she's just one of millions of women who identify with and attach to this identity as this wounded little girl. And so much of what we need to do as adults is break our attachment to our wounded little girl energy, and also identify the actual things that your wounded little girl needed. So the wound.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Wounded little girl who was, you know, used when she lost her virginity and she felt like shit and she was ashamed and she felt terrible and she was hurt and she was harmed and she was discarded and she was used and whatever. What did that little girl need? Because born from that experience, this is just an example, but born from that experience is the attachment to the wounded little girl energy. But what did the actual wounded little girl need? These are two different things. What happens is born from that experience to cope with it. We take on the identity of wounded little girl. We romanticize it. We obsess over it. We make songs about it. We choose men from it. We love being in this wounded little girl energy, because it makes the experiences that we've had seemingly easier, although it doesn't. All it does is further them, perpetuate them, and continue our oppression. But to us, in our own heads, it makes it easier because we romanticize it, we become obsessed with it, we become attached to it, we identify with it. However, what did that wounded little girl need? What did that wounded little girl need? The wounded little girl who was, you know, 14 and used and you know, was harmed and just wanted love and safety and affection, and she wanted to be able to express all of the love in her heart, but instead a man used her and discarded her and treated her like shit. What did that girl need? She needed safety. She needed genuine love. She needed healthy connections. She needed good role models. She needed someone to be there for her.
Right. So these are all things that she needs. She needed to not perpetuate this. She needed to not have that experience. Right. Of course, all experiences are divine. All experiences happen in their own timing. Right. Whatever. But what I'm saying is what that wounded little girl at 15 or 14 needed was she wanted to not have that experience. She needed a healthy, loving experience of love. That's what she needed. 14-year-old you, if you had this experience or you can think of any experience that you had, needed a healthy, loving experience of love. Okay, so now let's talk about present day you. Present day you might still be coming from the attachment to what was created after the experience. So after the experience, we become attached to this identity because it helps us cope as children with the pain of that reality, right? So if you were, you know, harmed when you were losing your virginity and you were, you know, discarded and used and someone was mean to you and of course you can't ever be used. But when I say used, like I felt that my body had been used before. I felt that my body had been discarded, that someone just used me to get off, that someone just used me harmfully, that they didn't actually cherish me. You are never used. You are never, you know, discarded. You yourself are, you cannot be used, but someone else's intent towards you affects you. Their intent to use you affects you. It hurts you. Their intent to use you and discard you hurts you and affects you. So that's what I mean, just by the way, with the distinction. I don't want anyone to think that you actually can be used or tainted as a woman. Of course not. You never can be, no matter what experiences you've had, ever. It's not possible. However, the experience of someone else having that intent coming to you, a sacred and beautiful person, a sacred and holy and divine person, someone else coming to you with their harmful intentions and putting their harmful intentions onto you, right? The act of sex, if it's in a heterosexual interaction, is someone else coming onto you and putting their harmful intentions onto you. And so if you experience that, it's a lot to cope with, right? So when we're children and we experience that, even if it's not sex, if it's anything, that's what I'm trying to drive home in this podcast, is that this experience can come from just living in the patriarchal society. You can just have had men bully you or have men comment on your body or whatever it is, but especially most of us experience this. 99.99999% of women experience these types of interactions with men, right? So if you experience that, to cope with it, we take on the identity of wounded, or we take on the identity of this doe-eyed girl looking up with this big eyes and I always love my man, I'm always this and I'm always that. It's just a Lana Del Rey vibe, right? So that's the vibe that I'm talking about. If you've never listened to Lana Del Rey, then you got out unscathed. But what's born from the experience is not what that girl actually needed. It's what she created to cope. So when we actually talk about what you as that girl needed, you needed health, you needed safety, you needed loving, genuine connections that made you feel safe and secure and comfortable in your heart. These are very different than the loving, quote unquote, connections that we are having right now as women with men. Currently, we're having loving, not really, but the experience we're having with men as love is really just eroticized unsafety. We don't think there's anything else out there, so we settle for love that is not actually love, but the experience, the distortion of love that is unsafe, that makes us always feel on edge, that we don't fully trust, we can't fully open up, we don't feel safe, right? So what you really needed is safety, a safe, loving, healthy connection. The point is that as an adult, you have the responsibility to break free from the identity that you took on and to actually enter into the maturation of womanhood, mature womanhood. You have a responsibility to yourself to stop identifying with your position in the patriarchy. Stop romanticizing your position in the patriarchy. Stop obsessing over and making an identity out of your position in the patriarchy. And instead, enter into mature womanhood and become the woman that is empowered. Become the woman that 14-year-old you actually wanted and needed. Engage in the experiences that are healing to little you who needed those experiences but didn't get them. The only way to have healing and healthy and mature relationships as an adult, healing, nourishing, and mature, healing, nourishing, and healthy, healing, nourishing, and sacred relationships as an adult is if we choose to enter into mature womanhood, which many women don't. Most women don't. Entering into the embodiment of womanhood, entering into your power, taking back your power, looks like feeling fully comfortable in your own sense of self. Because what happens even in this identity that we take on is what happens is we feel unwhole, we don't feel whole on our own. So we become obsessed with men filling the void for us, and we become obsessive over men, and we become obsessed with, you know, putting them on a pedestal. And exiting out of this looks like dedicating deeply to yourself. You're never going to break free from desiring male validation until you actually decide to take a period of time of celibacy and solitude where you completely rewire yourself and you choose to enter into mature womanhood where you no longer are choosing to identify with wounded little girl energy. That's it. This is the only way. So it's really a decision that you no longer are going to find comfort in the identity that you've taken on to cope with the patriarchy, to cope with your experiences as a woman. You're no longer going to take that on. You're no longer going to find safety and love and fulfillment in the wounded identity that you've taken on, which is hard. It feels scary to let it go, right? This wounded identity becomes everything to us as women. It becomes this identity, this romanticized identity that we take on as women, and it feels terrifying to let it go. This identity of, you know, I'm always loving more and I'm always, you know, hurt and I love him so much and he's blah, blah, blah. All this, that's you now doing it to yourself. Now you're doing it to you. Before, someone did it to you, but then to cope, you romanticized it and started doing it to yourself. So the decision to stop doing that takes dedication to yourself, dedication to your evolution, and the willingness to shed an old version of you. If you would like to know how to do it, you can watch my YouTube video, which is about celibacy, my 2 years of celibacy and everything that I did, or you can listen to any of my other podcasts, which give you the how to do that. But it's really important to, I'll just give you the overview. You can do coaching with me. That will help. Coaching with me? No, but for real, solitude, where you're not texting any men, where you're fully facing yourself, where you're not engaging with any men romantically, you have to break the attachment to fulfilling your voids with men and instead fulfill your voids with you. Fill your voids with you. Fill yourself up so you no longer have any voids. Only from that space can you actually show up as an empowered and healthy woman. It takes work. It takes dedication. But at this point, we have taken on an identity where we're now doing it to ourselves. So if you want to know how, you can watch my YouTube video. This is going to be this episode for today, and I'm going to like cut it here. But I hope this was helpful, and I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you soon. And also, if you want to do coaching with me, my coaching program is currently at full capacity, but I am opening up again for clients in September, so you can secure your spot for September by doing a free introduction call with me through my website, which is at victoriadeval.com. and you can do a introduction call with me and see if it's the right fit. And they're all free, the introduction calls. And then you can decide if you want to do the program, which is an investment, of course, because it's a coaching program. But the intro call to decide if you want to do it is free. So I will talk to you guys soon. And thank you so much. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.